Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
You know, I'm just looking at the words of Jesus. You know, we're really trying to focus on the Gospels and the words of Jesus and, you know, getting back to the original intent of our Creator for us. And I'm looking at, you know, Matthew chapter 11. He's talking here about cities. Jesus says, then Jesus began to denounce the cities in which most of his miracles had been performed because they did not repent. You think about it, that what's, you know, what, some of the things we're talking about in the first hour, and also I believe first part of this extra hour, is you know, people are being presented the gospel, and they say, well, you know, I love this Jesus. Yes, I want to be saved, but nobody teaches them about repentance. Nobody teaches them the word of God, because repentance is leaving our life of sin, learning the new way of living and walking in it, the commands of Jesus. And so how can I repent if I don't even know, you know, how can I know that I'm speeding if you hadn't taught me that there's speed limit signs and put signs up?
Mm-hmm.
How can I know I'm sinning if you have not taught me the word of God?
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't know that I'm sinning, how can I tell you that I've repented? You know, so I really believe that the fullness. And so Jesus is talking here. He was not rebuking these cities because, you know, they didn't not talk about Jesus and that miracles and ministry didn't happen there. It happened there. But he says, woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. If the miracles that have been performed in you have been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented a long time ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon than for you on the day of judgment. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No, you will go down to the depths. If the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, which is Sodom and Gomorrah, it would have remained to this particular day. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom on that day than for you. And, wow. And so much today, everybody talks about, you know, that's like Sodom and Gomorrah. And God's going, listen, my expectations are higher for you than Sodom, because if they would have had what you had today, with the blessing that you're living in today, and the provision and the miracles and all the things that have happened in your generation, they would not have served the devil.
That's right.
They would have served God. That's what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
And so here are these guys. They're not Sodom and Gomorrah. They're somebody who didn't respond to God and repent. Didn't repent. That was what it was. And it's like, bear fruit in keeping with your repentance. The axe is already laid at the root. And repentance means that we're going to have a life that has fruit in it. We're going to have a life that has fruit in it. And when you think about that, you start thinking about, well, then if we're being religious, but we're not repenting, and all this ministry is going on in the context of it, then we could say we're sort of like fruitless wonders.
Mm.
You know, fruitless wonders. And Jesus said in Matthew 21:43, he said, therefore I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit.
Mm.
I mean, think about that. That's just like wrecks. Yeah. A lot of doctrine out there that's being taught. This is the word. That's why we're going back to the words of Jesus. We want to find out what's going on. And John says in Matthew 3:8, he says, listen, produce fruit in keeping with your repentance. Well, my goodness, if I haven't repented, then I'm not going to have the fruit of repentance. Mm. And he says, produce fruit. He says, listen, in verse 10 of that same chapter, he says, an axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. So it wasn't the fact that you're not a tree. Yeah, you're a tree, but you got to, being a good tree means you actually produce.
That's right.
And so we can be, a lot of ministry, a lot of things can be happening. People can be getting healed and just, you know, religious things going on and not necessarily wrong things. I mean, but Jesus was obviously delivering the perfect gospel. I mean, he is the perfect gospel, but yet they responded to it in a religious way. You know, Romans 11:17-23, we find out actually the verse 21, he lets us know. He says, don't be arrogant, because if he didn't spare the natural branches, he won't spare you either. And he goes on to verse 22, the latter part. He says, you can be cut off.
Mm.
You can be cut off. And he says very specifically that there's something, if we truly are walking with God, if we are like Tyre or Sidon or Sidon, or if we're like Capernaum and we're hearing this right gospel to us, presented to us, we have a responsibility to repent, to hear what Jesus is saying to us and say, yes, I want to make him the Lord of my life and make him the Lord of my life and learn his ways and begin to follow in him. And the thing about this too, Jesus says very specifically in John 15:5, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains or abides in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. See, this fruit is important. We could be fruitless wonders.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but apart from me, you're a fruitless wonder. But apart from me, you can do nothing.
Yeah.
So over and over again, we just hear it's being reiterated. And we discover that Jesus is expecting from us what we can't even do ourselves outside of a personal relationship with him. We have to be fruitful, but we can only be fruitful if we abide with him, if we remain in him. And we talk about that at iabide.org. That's why we talk about abiding, because you're not going to be able to do what we're talking about and what Jesus is talking about unless Jesus empowers you to be able to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be really confusing. Fruitless wonders can be really confusing. But I was wrong. What was Jim Baker wrote the book, I Was Wrong, and he dealt with lots of fruitless wonders. They come in one after the other. They preached good messages. Prophesied, sang good songs. People were healed, and these gifts were working. And he was sitting, he'd have a dinner with them and eat with them, and they were totally bad fruit. And there were things that come out of their mouth. It wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, and so he just thought, well, I guess it doesn't matter. And he began to measure them by their gifts instead of by their fruit.
Right.
And this is so, so very important, because, you know, the question is, fruit is not our gifts. We got to understand that. That fruit is not our gifts. In Romans 11:29, we find out that God's gifts and his calls are given without repentance, or they're irrevocable. But also we find out when Jesus tells us in Matthew 22:14, that for many are called or invited, but few are chosen. So just because you got a call, just because you got a gift, don't mean you're chosen. It's actually when you make that choice to be able to make Jesus the Lord of your life. And when you see what's happening in the context of fruitless wonders, is it matters who they are when they're alone. It matters who they are, because, you know, we've seen a lot of things where you have on the public scene where they're professing these different things, but behind the scenes they're just beating the heck out of you with their with their things and their stuff. And it's just like, really? You know, and you think, what meanest thou this? And the truth is like, You're known by your fruit. And Matthew 7:15-23 lets us know, and Jesus says it in verse 19. He says, every tree that does not bear good fruit, and that's every, by the way, every tree, will be cut down and thrown into the fire. You think about that.
Mm.
And so if we get this gift thing mixed up and call thing mixed up with fruit, you know, we'll be like the people that Jesus talks about in Matthew 7:21. He says, as he's beginning to talk, he says, not everyone. But think about that, Ralph, right off the front. Not everyone. Mm-hmm. And you know what I'm saying? It's like, look how religious we are. I'm sure everyone knows Jesus here. We're all in the house of the Lord today, right? I mean, you just want to. But the truth is, Jesus said in the red letters, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not only do they actually hang around Jesus, but they even call him Lord, Lord, you know? Mm-hmm. And he says, only he who does the will of my Father. You see, fruit has to do with obedience that can only come out of the empowerment that you get from your actually truly knowing and hanging out with Jesus. We'll talk more about that. And he says, this is the only ones that's really going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And he says right here, he says, who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And many will say to me on that day, and he's talking about the day when it's all over, the choice is already been made. And they'll say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy? And I'm like, you know, if I hear one more prophetic word by somebody that treats you like junk, you know, when it's over with, it's like, don't, it's important if they treated you like junk, but they gave a word, even if it was accurate, take the word for being accurate, but don't take their relationship with God.
That's right.
Of being accurate, because you know them by the fruit. He says,
separate the gift from the character.
Yeah, and it's amazing. It's like, no, no, sit back down. Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name, drive out demons. What does that mean? People are demon-possessed, and you come against this, the satanic realm, Ephesians 6:12 that we wrestled against, and the authority in Jesus' name, and you tell the devil to go, and because there's power in Jesus' name, the devil goes.
Power in Jesus' name.
Like you keep, there's power in the name of Jesus, and then there, when you go and speak to the spiritual realm, that Ephesians 6:12 talks about, and you bind them in the name of Jesus and you drive the devil out. And in that context of that, he goes out. It's because there's power in the name of Jesus. And in that, the devil goes. And then he says, and performs many miracles. I mean, these are miracles where all of a sudden, you know, you prayed, they prayed for rain in the name of Jesus and rain came down, or they laid hands on the sick and the sick recovered, and these different things. He says, but then Jesus said, this is what Jesus is saying. Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. I never knew you. See, you get to know Jesus when you abide with him. When you abide with him. That's what we're always talking about, iabide.org. We don't want you confused with the fact of thinking because you got a gift and you got a call that you're not going to be here at this encounter that Jesus is talking about right here. Because you don't want to be preaching the kingdom to others that you yourself are not going to enter in. That's what they're saying. That's what he's saying. And then he says, away from me, you evildoer. See, these men and women became religious, but they didn't become relational. Either they never made Jesus the Lord of their life, or at some point they left their relationship with Jesus and just stayed religious. They identified themselves by what they do. We call that hoodoo. By their gift. It doesn't mean their gift was not accurate. It just means you're not what you do. You are who you are in, with Jesus. In your abiding relationship with him. And understanding that they never abided or stopped abiding with God. Sort of like Saul and David. You know, David sought the Lord, Saul didn't. Both of them had the same prophetic word over them, but there was a day that God said, I regretted the day that I ever made Saul king. What did David do? He inquired of the Lord. So what is good fruit? I mean, what is good fruit? We're specifically told what good fruit is in Galatians 5:22-23. He says, the fruit of the Spirit is love. I mean, that, think about that. That alone, because God is love. If there's no love there, if there's no love there, there's no God there. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And it's like, why do you bite me every time I'm around you? What's got a hold of you? It ain't God, because I ain't, you're feeling the love. You know what I'm talking about? You're feeling the love. And you think about all those religious folks that was around Jesus, God, Emmanuel, were being very religious around God, love himself. They're being religious around him, but they didn't know God. They even called God Satan. They called Jesus Satan. So this is a possible paradigm that can happen. But he says the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Talking with your spouse about holiday finances can be stressful. With Focus on the Family Minute, I'm John Fuller. Bethany Palmer shares about the importance of discovering your money personalities and then analyzing previous money fights.
Then one of the things that you can do is talk about the last holiday season, because now you have a perspective. So you can look back at the last argument that you had and identify where the conflicts came in with purpose. Instead of just saying, well, we're just going to go into this new holiday season and everything's going to be different because we know our money personalities. No, you've got to take some time and review the past and say, oh, that's what you meant. You didn't mean that you wanted to go crazy with shopping. You just wanted to make sure that everybody was taken care of. Okay, I get that.
Understanding your spouse's view of money is important for holiday harmony. You can hear more from the Palmers today at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
I do want to give a big shout out and hello out there. I'm sure you do too, for all of our partners who partner with us on a monthly basis. I don't know if you know this or not, but people, you and people like you say, you know what? This is good. This is good seed. Not only are they broadcasting the truth on television and radio around the nation and around the world, but they're actually telling the truth. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're willing to take the blows in love, but telling the truth. And I could stand for that. As a matter of fact, this is what God said. This God's word says this, that if you give a drink of water, if you give a drink of water to someone who speaks truth in the name of God, you get that person's reward. Mm. Imagine if you become a partner. He's saying, this is my pledge for 2014. Every single month, I am going to pledge a financial contribution to the light. I want to keep the conversation light for 2014. And, you know, over one half of our reality being out there is because of you, because of partners. The other half is because of our sponsors, our businesses who stand with us. And it's so cool because in the whole journey since God called me out of the fires of Brownsville Revival, he called me into a realm of an interesting apostolic move because we've been seeing government, we've been seeing military, we've been seeing the businesses say, you know, this is good. Mm-hmm. This is God. And I can't go into many details, but I can say this. If you go to vfntv.com right now and look and click on see our partners, you'll see those businesses that are standing with us. And you'll also see a chance where you can become a sponsor who stands with us too. Stands with us by putting your shingle out there saying, I stand. I don't only have a fish on my sign. I have a fish on my heart, and I stand for God and country in that order. And I stand for Israel, and I stand publicly unashamed. You can do that by becoming a partner with us. I want to say thank you to our partners that are standing with us. Thank you to our sponsors who are standing with us. Visit these businesses. I mean, they're so cool. I just love what they're doing. Show the difference of those who stand up for God. Say, you know what? That's where I'm going to buy my cookies. That's where I'm going to get my coffee. That's where I'm going to get my car fixed. That's where I'm going to bowl. That's where I'm going to seek entertainment for my family. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to these places. And if you want to be a part of those who are saying, I want to go there, hey, become a sponsor. We want people to know that you stand up for God and country in that order in Israel. We don't want to stop talking. All of 2014, as long as they let us talk, as long as God says he lets us do it, we want to tell people about you. We are proud of you. We are thankful for you, and we are grateful for you. And we just speak a blessing over the businesses in 2014 of those who stood up and said, you know what? I want everybody to know at Blue Angel Hot Tubs and Spas and Pools that even though I ship around the world, I want everybody to know I stand up for God and the principles and on every single one of them. And we just thank you so much. Visit them. Make 2014 commitment, not only to stand as a partner individually, but if you have a business, sponsor us. Let us promote you as you promote God. Let us make your business famous as you make Jesus' name famous.
You know, I began to learn a lot of things about building, you know, spending time with Pat. Yeah. The more time I'm actually spending with Pat, the less time I'm actually putting Band-Aids on my thumbs from like hitting the hammer and trying to build something. And I'm learning a lot from him. I remember when we were working on, one of the projects we were doing, he pulls out his iPhone. And I'm like, an iPhone while we're working, while we're building stuff, middle hammer, 2x4. And he was checking the level of a 2x4. I was like, what are you doing? He's like, I got an app for that. I'm like, get out of here. He's like, yeah, he has a level as an app on his iPhone.
Are you kidding me? A level?
Yeah.
On the phone. And what is the level? Is that the balancing thing?
Yeah, because I don't know. Apparently he had like left a level in the truck or left a level at the house. And there it is, like the bubbles and everything, the lines. He was checking the level of the 2x4 off his iPhone. And we start talking, and he says, "Yeah, I mean, have you checked out the new app for the VFN TV VFN Daily Radio program?" And I was like, "There's an app for that?" He's like, "Yeah, there's an app for that." He says, "You can go right on iTunes right now, and you can also go on the Android, because Android has it now too. You can go on VFN TV, type it in, and there's an app for that. Click download, and everywhere you go, you got us right there with you. You got all the live content. You've got all the live programming. You've got everything right there. It's like VFN TV on the go."
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off.
But just think about love. You think about how important that is, because if we don't have love, we don't have God.
That's right.
You know, you don't, and it's like the love of the body, you know, the love of the church, the love of many will grow cold in the last days because of great lawlessness that's in the land. And so when we're thinking about love, that if and what they did, what, you know, Jim Baker did, he saw these ministry take place, these gifts take place, and he sat with them around the table, and there was no love. There was no love. And sad to say, and that happens quite a bit in the body. It happens quite a bit where Paul says, "I've warned you day and night that wolves are coming come into your number, even come from among your number."
And, for 3 years, right?
Yeah, with tears, never stopped warning. And gifts are just so mesmerizing. It's always been an issue in the church where people begin to worship gifts instead of worship God. But so love is so important that without it, our gifts are worthless and meaningless if we don't have love. And you think about love. He talks about it in 1 Corinthians 13 when he says, actually, verse 31 of 12, he starts, "But eagerly desire the greatest gifts." Mm. And then he says, "And now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal." Mm-hmm. We've had some encounters like that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Kong, kong. "If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains," John, I mean, talking about moving mountains, "but have not love, I am nothing." This just puts a fear of God in a lot of us, because it's easy to kick in to be religious, but when people are around you, it's raunchous. You know what I'm saying? And you can only be moving in love through the empowerment we're going to talk about of spending time with love himself. "If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing." What is he saying? You can be as religious as you want to, but if you don't have love, it's totally meaningless. Even if people get saved by the kingdom message, it doesn't mean that person who's delivering it is going to enter in. Mm. Does it not?
That's right.
That's right.
And so love is produced, because remember he says, produce fruit in keeping with your repentance. Love is produced in our lives when we abide with love himself, Jesus. We're not going to be, it's contagious. You spend time with love, Jesus. We abide with him, right? I mean, he says very specifically, and synonymous with love, it's obedience. It's obedience in love, loving obedience. Because he tells us in John 14, 15, Jesus plainly says, "If you love me," if you really love me, right? Mm-hmm. "If you love me, you will obey me." In verse 21, he says, "Whoever has my commands and obeys them." Remember, if I've never seen a speed limit sign, if I'm part of the 82% that don't even read the Bible, if I don't even know what sin is, right? Mm-hmm. He says, "Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Obedience and love, synonymous. Verse 23 through 24. If anyone, there it goes again, everyone, anyone, all of them bubbies, right? If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching.
Wow.
This is, this. I mean, think about how many fruitless wonders today that you bump into, and it's like, you're shutting me down when we're talking about the teachings of Jesus, but yet you're wanting to sing, you're wanting to prophesy. You're wanting, you know, you're not living your marriage the way God says to live a marriage, but yet you want to go teach people how to be married. You know, I was like, what, what? And the thing is that we can go back and say, wait a minute, fruitless wonder.
That's right.
Fruitless wonder. And you know how to minister to them. Right. You say, you know, set your little prophecy down for a moment. I know you just cast the devil out, but we're going to get the
fruit
devil.
First.
We're going to get the devil off of you first.
Fruit first. Ministry second. Right?
Remember that? Fruit first, yeah. Ministry second. I'm not your son. Okay, the who does not, he's, this is what he says, let me do it again. If anyone loves me, he will obey, this is Jesus, he will obey my teachings. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teachings. There's a lot of people right now that need to be taught. In the church, people who profess to be Christians, they need to be taught how to love God. Because, you know, many people said, yep, yeah, love God, give. You know, they talk about some good thing going on. Or, you know, if you help us build the wing on, that's loving God. We'll put a plaque up with your name on it. And these different things. And the truth is that it's actually obeying him. Hear and obey. Hear and obey. That's love for God. And he says, and this goes on to say, these words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. Listen, what I just told you and what Jesus told us, that's what God said. That's what God said. So you can you can listen to religious folk all day long, and there's lots of them. Jesus was talking to them when he was talking about what happened in Sidon and Capernaum and all. But it's the people who you just feel, I think about, you know, some other acquaintances and people that we have that is like, my goodness, you just want to be around them because they got love.
Yeah.
You just want to kind of like get up under their arm and hang around. You're like, well, I'm just hanging around love for a while. I'll be out there in a minute. I'm just going to hang out for a while. You just feel God in their life. You just feel that empowerment. And how to remain fruitful and to remain in God's love. He goes on to tell us in verse 15. He tells us very specifically in 19. He says, chapter 15, verse 19, he says, as the Father has loved me, this is Jesus saying, so have I loved you. Now, it's about right this moment, now remain or abide in my love. If you obey my commands, because remember he said in Matthew 28, go make disciples of the nations, teach them to obey my commands. And he says right here, he says, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. Oh, my goodness. Just as I have obeyed my Father's command and remained in his love. Obedience is how we remain. We hear what he says, but we don't go, well, that was cool. I'm going to do what I want to do. We hear what he says, and we actually do what he says. It makes me think of the man who had the vision or the dream, and he's standing before the throne of God, and he's had this lifelong ministry, and he's talking, you know, I did this. And God's just looking at him and like looking through him and looking around him. And finally the guy gets really uncomfortable and he says, what? After he's cranked off all these lists of accomplishments. And he says, I'm just trying to see how much of my son I see in you.
Wow.
You see, it's about us decreasing and Jesus increasing. It's about us becoming Christ-like. It's not about Jesus becoming us-like. It's us becoming like him. And when you think about it, so what does love look like? Well, he goes on to tell us in verse 13 what it looks like. Chapter 13 in 1 Corinthians in verse 4, he says, listen, love is patient, enduring hardship and delay and difficulty without complaining. This is why we say you got to abide. I cannot do that without having a personal relationship with God.
That's right.
And if I start lacking in that area, I got to spend more time with God. I get really bad to take a sabbatical because I got to get right in my heart with God. But love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. We got Christians that have businesses named Envy.
You know? Oh, Jesus.
It's just like, what? Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Think about it. Mm. Like, remember how Chris and Pat were talking about
it, kind of like that, kind of right. Going back and forth.
It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. And love never fails.
Mm.
It never fails. And you think about that, then it's like, I can't do that, God. I mean, I can do it for a little bit, but all of them at the same time. I don't know how I'm going to do this. And he says, you can't do it apart from abiding with me. You can't do it. I'll actually empower you to be patient. I'll empower you and give you grace to be kind when everything inside of you wouldn't be kind. But all of a sudden it's like, I don't know where that kindness came. Well, I do know where that kindness came from because it didn't come from me.
That's right.
You know, it'll help you not envy, empower you not to boast and not to be proud. And, you know, it's this hanging out with Jesus. He calls us to do something we can't do outside of a personal abiding relationship with him. What in all of this, yet we're powerless to love unless we abide with love himself.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today. Blue Angel Hot Tubs, Pools, and Spas. Contact Joyce today if you're looking to make that addition to the home. They have a wide selection of hot tubs, and the price is right. They even ship nationwide. Give them a call today. In New Jersey, Yolanda's Cocina Cubana. Excellent Cuban food. Delicioso. Go in and get some for you and for me today. The $50 Eye Guy, where they have everything from Rex to Specs. If you want to visit them today, they're right across from Home Depot in Pensacola. Visit a $50 Eye Guy today so you can see.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Jesus said, you know them by their fruit. That's the only way we can really tell who we really are. And then he even tells us, apart from abiding in him, we can't even bear that fruit. Listen to Francis Chan, the author of Crazy Love, and leader of and founder of Multiply Movement, share this exact thing. We are known by our fruit.
You know, the fruit will show. You know, if the tree's for real, it's going to bear fruit.
Yeah.
You'll see the action, but we want to make those statements, and we're not following up, and we're deceiving ourselves. I was thinking about this the other day, you know, how James talks about how we can be hearers of the word but not doers, and so we're deceiving ourselves because we're listening and amen, but we're not doing it. And you know, Satan is the father of lies. He loves deception. He loves to deceive people, but I think in a lot of ways he's very happy with what he sees in a lot of gatherings, because they're like, I don't even need to work there. They're deceiving themselves. They're going there, you know, hearing a message, amening it, and not doing it. They're deceiving themselves. I think Satan's actually very pleased. I want to be careful with it. I mean, based on what I see in Scripture, I think there are times when he's pleased that the Word of God is preached and not obeyed, and that deception is going on, because that's his MO. That's what he loves to do. He loves to deceive. And so if there's a bunch of people thinking they're following God because they're going, oh yeah, I heard a really tough message by David Platt the other day. You know, I heard this, I got so convicted, I even walked away sad. Me and my friends, we even cried. You know, it's just like this, we did it. And I really think the enemy is going, oh, this is great. This is great. They're not, when Jesus was about repent, like, let me see you turn. John the Baptist, repent, let me see you turn. Peter, repent. Mm-hmm. You know, it's turn, 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 and we're all about feel bad, make a grand statement. Mm-hmm. And I think Satan's actually pleased with that.
You're listening to Francis Chan, author of Crazy Love and Multiply Movement. You can find it at multiplymovement.com. Listen, you need to be fruitful. We are known by our fruit. It's going to be a fruit inspection time at the throne room of God, because it's not that we're not earning our salvation. The very fact that we are saved, we are fruitful. Listen, if you want to be fruitful today, begin to make this Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. If you haven't yet done that, go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. We shared a couple of our stories and how to do that. Then begin to abide with him and be his disciple. And we have a plan for you, a simple plan for you. Right now, free. Just go and request it at iabide.org. iabide.org. Eternity weighs in the balance. Your eternity.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Let's pick up where we left off.
John 15:6. This is what he says. Jesus says this: if anyone does not abide or remain in me, he is like a branch. Just like John the Baptist said, just like Jesus said earlier, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Oh. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. Just like Paul talked about in Romans chapter 11, branches being cut off. Fruitless branches. Fruitless wonders. John 15:8-16, very specifically, he talks about this. Says, listen, this is Jesus saying this. This is red letters, gospel. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit.
Much.
Much fruit. And we just found out it's not your prophecy. It's not miracles and signs and wonders. It's how you're treating folk. Mm-hmm. You know, what's in your heart when you're doing it? And he says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciple. You see, that's our identification card. We got fruit. And that is our identification card. When we're bearing fruit. We're actually, these fruits of the Spirit are coming out of us towards other people. Somebody says, he's been with God. She's been with God. Mm-hmm. Because they can feel the fruit of the Spirit coming off of it. And then he goes on and says this. He says, listen, you didn't choose me. Jesus is saying this. You didn't choose me. I chose you. And I appointed you to go. Bear fruit. I mean, there it is again. Mm. And fruit that lasts, which means there's some fruit that don't last. Fruit is what we do for or to others and adjoin with the motives in our heart of why we did it. Whether it's good or bad determines on why we did it and who we did it for. Good fruit is us being empowered through our abiding relationship with the Lord to obey his commands to us in regards to others because we love him and we love them. An example of a bad fruit is doing something for someone for personal gain, recognition, power, but not out of love for God and love for the others or out of obedience to God. So God empowers us. What did he tell us? He told us the axe is already laid at the root. Bear fruit in keeping with your repentance. What did he say to Sidon and Capernaum? He says, listen, Sodom would have repented a long time ago if what's done in you, what has been done in them. It's going to be worse for you on the end because you didn't repent. And it's not just repenting. It's not just saying a prayer. You're going to have to be fruitful. You can't be a fruitful wonder. And there's so many fruitful wonders. It gets really confusing. You got to pause and abide and say, okay, wait a minute. I know I see this being said, but I see this being done. God, help me with this. And you go, okay, I know how to minister to this person. In the last days, men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God. It's a sign of the last days. Fruitless wonders. Matthew 21:43, and I'm just closing out right here just so you can just get this thing. We're going to bring a ton in here. But think about it. Jesus says this, and this is what I started with. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. He who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, but on whom it falls will be crushed. Listen, if we give our lives to Jesus and his commands, it'll break us to pieces. It'll humble us. But remember this, it's in broken soil. It's in broken up soil. It's in the brokenness of the soil that the harvest comes, that the seed gets sown, that the water comes, and the fruit comes. Fruitless wonders. You know them by their fruit, not by their wonders.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I wanted to be able to tell you, if you haven't yet heard, that you can go to VFNTV.com and sign up for our newsletter. It's called The Torch. As a matter of fact, you're probably seeing it on your screen right now. You go right to the front page of the VFN Torch, and you click on, you see in the upper right-hand corner? You click on Sign Up for the Newsletter, and there it is. You can sign up. You see the flame burning right there? Fill out your information here, push Submit, and boom, every single week you will receive a newsletter with that week's program sliced up. Think about it, sliced up segments that, you know, whatever segments to you. I want to make sure you do that because we work extra hard to make sure that you can get it ever how you need to be able to get it. And because listen, if only 9% in 2009 had a biblical worldview, in other words, they had a light, L-I-G-H-T, perspective of the world, it's a lot less than that now. Mm-hmm. And with hearing the light of God's, you know, it's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. To have that light perspective of what's going on, it's going to help you have a biblical worldview of your decision-making, of why you're going to get married or why you're going to need to stay married or why you need to have family or why you need to pay taxes, why you need to function. I mean, we've got to move past that. And one thing we can do that is by signing up for The Torch and getting it sent to you every single week. Every single week. And in that, it has the offers and things that are going on as well.
I was in a meeting, I guess, or something, and so I was going to go to the restroom. You're not going to believe this. I go to the restroom, but I was in my zone. What's that?
We might believe this.
Yeah. You know, I'm in that zone, right? In the zone. And just kind of, you know, knocking that out and getting back. And at that time, there was things going on that they were talking about, you know, integrating the sexes and there's no difference between men and women and we're all all the stuff was going on. And I didn't even look at the door. You know what I'm saying? And I opened up the bathroom door and I thought, my goodness. Now they've taken away all the things that we know they're in men's bathrooms, right? And it was like a whole bunch of rooms or something. You know, I'm like, my goodness. I was just so distraught. I'm thinking, they've even changed our bathrooms. And so obviously I had to go into a closet, and I'm in a closet. And next thing you know, I hear this lady's voice.
You hear what?
I hear this lady's voice. I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God, I'm trapped. I'm in this closet. Oh my goodness. What do I do? Dear God, I need a word. I need a word. You know, because you're like little rooms and stuff. By the way, you don't know this. There's little rooms in there. And you're like in your own little room. And it's like, what do I do? And of course, it's Cracker Barrel, 10 trillion people. And this is obviously sometime back because I read the doors now. I don't care what's going on. I even rubbed the braille. Okay, yeah, that's the men's. And so I waited for silence. And I booked it out of that puppy and came in there and just went totally just tried to block it out of my mind. And by God's grace, CNN wasn't outside the door. Explain this. I can't tell you. I can't tell. I have no idea. And, of course, all the people around me go, it can happen. It can happen.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So amazing, you know, just everything that the Lord is showing us. And I so enjoyed yesterday's program. If you missed yesterday's program, my goodness, you got to go to VFNTV.com and select the torch and listen to the power of God. It separates the talkers from the walkers, those walking with God as Jesus did. And it just reminded me of just, you know, some of the things the Lord has already told us. And one of the things that the Lord shared with me during my, you know, some time I just spent with the Lord about the Apostle Paul. You know, we talked about the Apostle Paul yesterday, about him being, you know, just a man that was just a great pioneer. Actually, we talked about this in a previous program. But a pioneer for God, he was a flame. He was a torch that shook a city. And I was reading in Acts chapter 19 that Paul goes to Ephesus, and one man, Greg,
shakes
an entire city for God.
Including the economy. Remember?
I mean, wrecked house.
He shifted the economy.
Yes.
Where they were buying idols and Diana and their blessed house comes down.
Well, Demetrius says he gets the craftsmen, he gets the tradesmen together, and he says, listen, we've got to, I'm paraphrasing, it's just verse 23, but it says, we got to do something about this guy, Paul.
Yeah.
We got to do something about him. He says, look, this is not good for business. This is not good for business. And they're making these crafts and these
exactly.
shrines.
Exactly. That's exactly what was going on.
Yeah.
It affected the economy. Yeah.
And in verse 26, he says, and you hear how this fellow Paul has convinced and led astray large numbers of people here in Ephesus and in practically the whole province of Asia. He says that man-made gods are no gods at all. This is a danger not only to our trade, but to the good name of this temple, of this goddess and all. It's like, come on. I mean, one message.
Many Americans would say this. They would say, but you don't understand. This is how I make my money. Mm-hmm. And then God revealed, that's not the way to make your money. That's actually sin.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. You
know, making those idols that they
exactly.
were making.
And that's the question America has to stand. You want to make money and live in sin, or do you want to choose God? You know, we have to make some serious decisions in our lives. If we're going to go on with God, we can't have sin and God too. So he's sharing with these craftsmen and these guys these tradesmen who are making this stuff. And all of a sudden, they get so upset, they get so stirred up that they break out into a riot. I mean, this is like they're going to town. And in fact, the word says that this riot lasted for 2 hours at least, because all they kept doing was shouting, you know, this goddess Artemis.
You know, many would say, well, obviously that's not God. Look at all the strife and the economies.
Yeah.
You know, the people are losing their jobs. This couldn't be God.
Yeah.
And it was so God.
So God.
Yeah.
Because here, Paul, he's just being a torch. When you talk about a man that came and just, you know, so many people make excuses. You hear excuses sometimes about the gospel and going into the harvest field. And it's like, wait a minute. This was one man who was willing to obey God, one man who was willing to not come in persuasive and enticing words and gimmicks and all this type of stuff, but was willing to preach the word, the full gospel of God, not persuasive words, but with demonstration of the Spirit's power. And he was a lightning rod that literally rattled a city. So when you think about what is it that Paul did that, you know, what did Paul do to shake the city? When the beginning of chapter 19, one of the first things he does in verse 2 is he arrives and he finds out that there's believers in the city, and he begins to ask them, hey, did you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And so they said, no, we don't even know. So he lays hands on them and they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, it goes on to say that Paul continues to go into the synagogues and he's teaching and preaching and just sharing the word of God. Then later on, it talks about how he discipled basically the ones that were in Ephesus and were followers of the Lord. For 2 years, he stayed planted. He didn't go anywhere. He didn't show up and go to another city and get another word and just, you know, blow in, blow up, and blow out. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But he stayed there. He was willing to disciple the believers there for 2 years. And then the word says that God did extraordinary miracles through Paul. Extraordinary miracles. And verse 12 says, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the spirits left them. We're talking about the power of God, the word of God, and one man willing to stay in the city, one man willing to go to a people group, one man willing to stay planted and say, no, for this hour, you know, for this hour. And if you know earlier in that chapter, this is where we talk about the sons of Sceva. You know, they tried to do what Paul did. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Right. They tried to do what Paul did, and it worked for a little while.
They did it in Paul's name instead of Jesus' name.
And the demon responds, Jesus, I know. And I know about Paul, but who are you? Who are you? And the thing is that Paul's name was known in hell. You know what I'm saying? Mm.
And the thing about it, this same Jesus, this same kingdom that was in Paul,
mm-hmm.
is in every believer.
Yes.
We have everything that we need. All we need then is faith in what we already have in God. Not faith for things and stuff, but faith to be able to say, you know, God, I want to live for eternity.
Mm.
I want to live not for this vapor, but I want to live my life for you, and I want to imitate those that have gone before me. I believe, Lord, that greater is you that's in me in this city than all this stuff in this city, and that you can shake this city and they can hear the gospel and they can see the evidence of the power of the kingdom and give them an awesome chance to be able to say yes to God. And quite often, you know, people, especially in you know, America, everybody expects to win. They just expect to win. Doesn't everybody gets a trophy? It doesn't matter. You're wondering, like, do we still get a trophy? We were like, sorry, as a kid, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, we got a trophy? And you got people talking about trophies today. It's like, dude, you didn't deserve that trophy. That was like, you know, we didn't deserve pizza.
Participation trophy.
We would go to like Shakey's Pizza or something, and we would. It was just terrible. We just think about. We define the kingdom of God like the kingdom of men. And the truth is that even Jesus, when he went to Chorazin, he is God. He did everything the Father told him. He is the kingdom of God. You know, he's the king over the kingdom. He is accurate in everything he said. He's a sinless man, all God. He perfectly executed the truth in Chorazin. And they didn't receive them.
Mm-mm.
One particular, I'm saying that because a lot of people say, well, I tried that and they said no. It's like, well, then don't change your message. Change your audience.
That's right.
Don't keep trying to talk to somebody that said no. He says, dust your feet off.
Yeah.
So you can, what you're talking about, you can go in with the power of God into a city and begin to demonstrate and preach the kingdom.
Look, when these demons went crazy on the sons of Sceva, the word of God says that great fear seized the city, and the name of Jesus was held in high honor.
Awesome,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This is a demonstration of the Spirit's power. They said, wait a second. What is happening? When the sorcerers, they said they came and burned up their scrolls.
Right.
They came, you know, and that's what we need. We need that all of us, believers, can be in the harvest to be preaching and sharing the word of God so that people will turn.
So sons of Sceva, that they were a sign.
Yes.
You know, God is a God of signs and wonders. You really don't want to be the sign, and you don't want people to wonder. But God has a way of allowing us to be those things so that other people, if it benefits the overall good of the family, you know, so be it. You know, so be it. I'm going to be talking about, you know, in a while about living, the regrets of living a safe life. Paul did not live a safe life.
He was out on the edge.
He's on the edge because he's advancing something.
Yeah.
He's on the edge of what is, taking what is further than what it is, which means you got to be facing nothing. and being believing God and advancing something that isn't. He's forcefully advancing the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
And he successfully did it. I mean, it's the Gentiles. Hello, that's us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so the word of God spread all over the city. It spread all over the province. You look at Paul's life and ministry, the word of God just spread everywhere.
Right.
And it gives us great hopes today.
Yes. You know,
everything that Paul was equipped with, we're equipped with today. Nothing else has to happen for the same signs and wonders to occur and for the gospel to continue to advance, for people to know the Lord. I mean, you're talking about storms. We're talking about all these things that are happening. Today is the day of salvation. I mean, today is the day that people need to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And there's many people that are searching, that are looking. Don't be convinced by those that are not turning. Let me tell you, many people today are turning their hearts to God, but you're going to find them in the harvest. You're not going to find them on the couch. It's the truth, right?
Oh, dear God. Yeah, and there's nothing more boring than living a safe life anyway. They got people doing crazy things just to get excitement. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, living for God is very exhilarating. You're not trying to go out and do anything in addition to feel like you need some more risk. If you're living on the edge with God to advance his kingdom, you've got probably all the excitement you can handle plus some.
Right.
And it's totally amazing.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today. Just Fish and Grits. If you're in the mood for some good southern cooking, visit Just Fish and Grits today to dine in or to take out. You can have your meal on the go. It is good. Contact ADTS Security and Alarm Monitoring. If you want to secure your home or your business, contact them today for all of your security needs, cameras, monitoring, and even medical pendants. Do it today. For your sewing and sewing machines, contact Sue, the sewing specialist, at All About Sewing, your sewing superstore in Mobile, Alabama. Don't forget to contact her at 251-634-3133. It's All About Sewing with Sue. Visit Copy Products today with 5 locations on the Gulf Coast to better serve you. They can help you with all of your copying and scanning needs. Copy machines, fax machines, scanners, printers, shredders, and so much more. Contact them today at 850-432-1580.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.